The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Thursday, Friday Eve, Dom's birthday Eve, Crutie's birthday hangover edition, a happier happy hour, rolling into it, Dom. And Dom, I've got some happy news to start this hour.
All right.
I've been denied Trump credentials.
Oh,
thank
no.
God. Because it's supposed to be 92 degrees on Tuesday, June 18th in Racine. And I'm really befuddled by the logic of the Trump team. Apparently somebody looked us up, Dom. But here has been the sequence this year. Trump denied me in Newton, Iowa. Still running in the primary then. Trump denies me at the wedding chapel at the Treasure Island Casino in Las Vegas the week of the primary and the caucus out in Vegas in February. And then I get okayed to go to the Waukesha Expo Center and see Trump in Waukesha. But now I've been denied credentials once again at the, Racine Expo Center next Tuesday? It's going off about the same time as our show, Dom.
Makes no sense.
The one time they said yes this year, was that the anomaly? Was that the mistake?
Right.
Or, you know, I mean, what happened? What is the logic here? And during the 2016 cycle, Dom, if you'll recall, we were only denied one Donald Trump rally the day he appeared at a Holiday Inn Express. And where was that? Janesville?
Oh, that's right. That's when we met the Janesville Confederate flag marching guy. He had the Confederate flag tattoo as well. I remember that day.
March 29th, 2016, if my memory serves, Dom. And the kid with the tattoo, I did interview him. Went somewhat viral. But the kid, he's from Milton, Wisconsin. And as I pointed out to him that day, Dom, we were on the northern side. We in Wisconsin. Because his whole explanation for why I was waving that Confederate flag out there, States' rights.
States' rights to do what exactly?
To enslave people, mostly.
Here's the pledge I'll make. All right.
Here's the pledge I'll make to you and the audience. I will not attend the Trump rally, and therefore, we won't be force-fed the Trump rally with or without the commentary. But, Dom, I pledge I will go and meet the Trump faithful. The front row shows. I want to be there to do man on the street, interview them, and see if they hate Milwaukee like the Cheeto Messiah does. If they think the whole southeastern Wisconsin corridor is horrible.
844-967-2789. Oh, Curdy, I'm so disappointed. You know, and I was going to see if I could redo my schedule and see if I can get off to go see Trump, but now I guess I'm just going to have to watch the fascism on telly. Let's get some callers in. Talk or text 844-96-PARTY. Joseph from DeForest, you are up. Welcome, Joseph. What do you got today?
Well, happy Friday evening.
Thank you.
I love your show. Been listening a long time. And I'm sorry to give Crute some nightmares, but this is how Trump could win. not going to say he is going to win, but this is how he could win the presidency. Right. Well, in quotes. So he lets it be known to the
Joseph, were you the gentleman? Joseph, were you the guy on the text line that said you voted for Trump prior?
I did. So
okay,
I voted
just
want
to clarify. Please continue.
I voted for him in the last primary. So this is how he does. He puts it out to the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, and all those other rabble rousers, and makes it clear that in crap hole cities like Milwaukee and other large urban areas in swing states, to firebomb the largest polling centers or to create some other sort of violence and destroy the ballots. When you do that, that creates enough chaos that the presidency might get decided in the House. And if it goes to the House, Trump becomes president. That's how he ends up winning. So it won't matter.
I think he would have had
a crap hole. Think you would have had what?
We lose.
No, he's
Joseph,
still here.
Let me ask you. Joseph, let me ask you. Would you consider voting for Trump again? I know you're playing a hypothetical here, but you said you voted for him in the primary. Are you going to vote for him in the general?
Absolutely not. No. I voted for him in the primary strategically because I didn't want Nikki Haley to be the nominee.
Oh, I see what you got
going
on.
Did you find her? See, I would have gone the opposite direction. I would have voted for Nikki Haley, but please tell us why.
This is why I didn't vote for. This is why I voted for that Mitchell guy or Michaels guy in the primary for the governor's race, because, like Clefish, she could play normal and get swing voters. The same with Nikki Haley. She can play normal, but she'll be just as bad as Trump. Well, as far as policy is concerned.
Joseph, I understand the hypothetical. Let me ask you, do you think the practicality of it? Are you concerned about, you know, a elevated level of potential violence in this election cycle as compared to, you know, 16-20?
Absolutely. We've got this crazy guy in DeForest who's got Trump signs all around his house. I expect him to come out with his guns blazing on voting day, on election day. And, you know, these guys keep getting more radical every day, and Trump is just egging them on. So I really worry about that. And with the Supreme Court the way it is, they would go ahead and say, yeah, well, you know, we couldn't really tell with all this violence who the winner is, so yeah, it does have to go to the House. They'd just shrug. They would probably take their time in making the decision until the very last minute, and then they'd say, yeah, it's got to go to the House, kind of like what they did with the 2000 decision. They dragged their feet and then said, well, time's up. I guess Bush wins.
Wow, Joseph, that's pretty depressing, man. I mean, you know, the potential certainly is there. I mean, if Donald Trump to coordinate with, you know, the extremist groups, I guess more so than he already has. I mean, because these folks were down at the Willard Hotel, right? I mean, weren't the Proud Boys bodyguards for what's his name? Hell, what's the Trump's buddy? Who's got the
Alex Jones?
No, oh, Alex Jones. And who's got the Trump tattoo?
And Richard Stone. Stone.
And Stone, right? So there's already been. Now, some of those cats have been sent to jail, right? A seditious conspiracy, I believe, was the conviction. So some of those guys are in jail for many years. So that leadership, you know, of some of those groups has been decimated. But you know, the surprising thing to me is how much grievance there is, perceived grievance. I'm not sure it's justified, but you know, there's a lot of angry people in the world, and Donald Trump is making every effort to shake it up, while, you know, get them, keep them frothy, you know, keep them frosty, keep them going, keep them on the side, stand back and stand by. And I'm just, you know, I'm just wondering what, you know, we talk about the guy who had all the Trump flags, and I see him occasionally. I think those folks, you know, certainly they're out there. I don't know that that's necessarily the general mindset. I mean, people can be conservative. People, you know, grew up conservative, quote unquote, Republican, and there's all sorts of reasons to do that and to be, you know, how they are. But if you're, I'm wondering, and it concerns me, a question, the motivation of those who would claim to have this, you know, these hard rock moral principles that, you know, makes them and drives them to the conservative mindset. you know, family and fiscal responsibility and yada, 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 patriotism and all those things that they would claim. And then they vote for a guy that seemingly went against all those things. I mean, Donald Trump sat there and he riled that crowd up. He sent them on the Capitol. You know, you're going to better fight like hell. You're not going to have a country anymore. Those kinds of things. And we have, and then today, I mean, Mitch McConnell says, you know, he's morally responsible at the time. And then today he's, you know, greeting him in the Capitol. So did you forget the death threats? Did you forget the threats to your life? Did you forget the gas masks that you were ordered on? Did you forget the guys jumping around the Capitol with their zip ties? Did you forget all those things? Was that all just in the past and that's never going to happen again? Or in the fact that there was never really, really, although certainly some of those folks have been convicted, have admitted to the crimes or been convicted to the crimes. What about the ones that orchestrated it? What about the ones that, you know, riled them up and got them there? When are we going to have those trials? That's what I'm looking for. Go ahead, Curdy. I'm sorry, man.
Joe Biden's campaign stepping up today, Dom. Trump on the Hill, right? Little pep rally with the GOP. Here's how CNN is reporting it. President Joe Biden's campaign is intensifying its focus on Donald Trump and his role in the January 6, 2021 riot. I would call it insurrection, but I read on. Seizing on the presumptive Republican nominee's Capitol Hill appearance today to launch a new attack ad spotlighting the insurrection. The campaign recently announced Biden's endorsements from several January 6 police officers who are stumping later this week in Battleground, Wisconsin, and now is unveiling a 30-second ad accusing Trump of inciting the Capitol attack. There's nothing more sacred than our democracy, but Donald Trump's ready to burn it all down, says the narrator in the 30-second spot, which the president's re-election campaign said would air in Battleground states during local news broadcast today. The ad is part of an ongoing seven-figure ad buy in Battleground states, the campaign officials said. Bet we see it tonight. You know, but the 6 o'clock news, that comes on after us. Stick around. There's more of this big show. A happier happy hour. You could be a part. 844-967-2789. We'll go to the phones next. And also, new news. Clarence Thomas, more. Yeah. Undisclosed travel. What? More corruption, Dom. Does this surprise you? One iota. More Devil's Advocate's greatest radio show ever. Maybe.
Ever.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Better get to the lines 844-967-2789. Let's do it. Scott from Whitewater, Wisconsin. You will be next. Welcome, Scott. What do you got for us?
Yeah, a couple things. I was just wondering if they're going to Racine County, if they're going to revisit Foxconn with their silver shovel. And
gold shovels. They were gold shovels, Sky. Come on. We talk facts around here.
Yeah. yeah. And, you know, when you're talking to those Trump guys, I always wonder, they're all ready for civil war. Yeah. I always wanted to ask those guys, like, do you have anybody that you love or care about that's on the liberal side of things, doesn't support Trump? And if they say yes and say, you know, are you willing to kill them over for Donald Trump? And if they say no, say, well, are you just going to rely on some of these other folks here to do it for you?
Yeah, Scott, it's one thing wow. It is. I mean, you think about the practicality of it. I mean, Civil War, shoot them, all those things. Oh, okay. Are you on the front line? Are you loading your gun? Are you walking out of the street? You're going to start just randomly shooting people across the street that you may have a sign that you don't like for a different candidate. Is that what you're looking for? Because otherwise, my understanding is we have this governmental system in order to prevent those kinds of things. And when you win, you win. When you lose, you go back and you regroup and you try again next time, Scott. I just don't get it. Why such angst and such eagerness for the bloodshed?
Well, I think their idea is that they shoot people that aren't shooting back.
Yeah. Wow. You know, that's never how it works, Scott. Thank you for the call, man. You know, liberals have guns too. Let's not go there. Let's engage in our self-governance, engage in the process, and hold people accountable to it. I mean, it's hard to have a democracy when you can't agree on the basic facts. Donald Trump lost that election. You might not have liked it. You know, I didn't like it when he won. But Donald Trump lost that election. He used the system to go up and have court cases and recounts and audits and all the things. He paid for some, and some were done by conservative groups, yada, yada, yada. We know the story. He had the opportunity to do that. And what did he do? He fomented an insurrection. And what has been the price for that? Nothing yet. And he's up for election perhaps again in November without any consequence? I mean, there's no consequence of a coup. Is this what? A trial run, baby. It's a practice run.
Dominic, I'm not exactly saying I'm not puffy after, you know, a week or more of celebrating my birthday. But most of the people that are so eager for the Civil War, I'm just telling you, man, they don't exactly have boot camp bellies. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're expecting the Civil War is coming, shouldn't you be getting in shape? Just saying. 844-967-2789. Going back to the phones. Who's next, Tom?
Steven from Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's not a horrible city. Welcome, Steven. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. First of all, I'd like to wish Kroot a belated birthday. You know, Dom, I kind of share your passion and, you know, a little bit of anger over, you know, the whole election period as a whole. I feel helpless a lot when thinking about it. Obviously, we have two candidates, and I, you know, one is a lot better than the other. But just the process and what it's turned into and what's degraded to, is sad. And the fact that we have to choose between Joe Biden, which I'm not saying anything's wrong with Joe Biden, or a felon, for president, is just astounding to me.
Yeah. The raging Cajun, Stephen, in the article we read yesterday was like, you know, Joe Biden's maybe not the best idea, but this is where we're at. And I tell you, I think you hit a chord with me, Stephen, at least a little bit, a feeling of helplessness, you know, and we can't, you know, at least I'm on the radio. I get to vent a little bit, have a minuscule impact on a few folks here and there. But, you know, the worrying and contemplating about things that we, you know, absolutely in some regards can't control, you know, we got, and for me, I got to kind of stay focused on the things that we can control. Cause it's easy to get overwhelmed by like, oh my God, is everything that my parents taught me total BS? I mean, I knew it was some BS, but, you know, take care of your friends, take care of your family, be a good person, do the right thing, those kinds of things. Now, granted, you know, people sway from the path here and there, and I'm no exception, Stephen. But when I hear, like, the Republicans today go off about, oh, Trump never said this, and this is how it is, and just give them a total pass on everything, strictly for what? Political reasons and access to power. And I guess ultimately, if that's your driving force in your life, then you can discount everything you were taught. Everything you were taught. It's all a lie because your pure ambition to get that power, you're going to discount it all. I think that says really something, not about Trump. Trump's Trump. About those people that would claim to be something else, claim to be the Christian, loving family, whatever's, and then just cast it all aside at the opportunity to do the dance with Donald Trump. It's really shameful, and it's a little bit heartbreaking, man. I hate to be the one to say, you know what, Mom and Dad, I was right all along. This is all bunk. But I'd like to be the better person, man. I think we need to engage in the process and call them out when we see them all the time, every time. Them, ours, yours, mine. That's the consistency I think we need, Stephen. Thank you for the call, man.
Dominic, Jeff from Shorewood on the text line, reading a few of the text. More of my clients have illegal guns than the MAGAs. Cam from Nina says the Civil War, the eager MAGA wannabe participants. I noted many of them, you know, thick in the midriffs. He calls them the gravy seals. And here's one for you, Jim from Appleton. Text in, why the Yanks, Dom? Because we haven't had a war that touched everyone since Vietnam. Lots of little wars, but they only touch the families involved in them. Well, a civil war is going to touch every family in this nation, would it not, sir? I can understand your reluctance, Dom, but I'm not Jim from Appleton.
Thank you, Jim from Appleton. Love my pals up in the Fox Valley. You folks stay cool up there. You folks stay with us. More of your calls on the other side. We'll get to Clarence Thomas, man. That guy takes more trips than Crudy does. And he just apparently found out, what, three more? He just like resubmitted the resubmittals and he left out three more of them? I mean, how many trips does it take for actually something to happen? Does the guy got to get caught with a live boy or a dead hooker and a suitcase full of cash before somebody does something about that? I find it a little problematic, folks. We are the devil's advocates. We are literally, it's true, not figuratively, literally the greatest radio show ever. Come back with us. 844-967-2789.
The big and tall of political talk. The devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Dom wishes it were Friday because it'd be your birthday. Woo-hoo. I'm suffering through a birthday hangover on this end. So, you know, I'll do better tomorrow. I'll carry
you. Well,
your
I know
ass.
The hangovers but get Dom, worse the older you get, Crudy. So you must have a really, really bad hangover.
Yours will be worse, I suspect. Dom, real quick, before we jump into the newfound corruption against Clarence Thomas, I want to bring a story to the attention of our audience. The Supreme Court has rejected Trump Too Small trademark. Dom, as I will report at this time, apparently Melania already had that one. Dom, 844-967-2789. Dom, what was that about Clarence Thomas? It's a more trips. Gratis?
And folks, thank you for being patient. We'll get to you momentarily. Also, some new breaking news. Brian Style. Maybe we can get some of that audio. Seemingly, you know, first he said it was never, ever said. Now he's saying something different. We'll give Rich some time to see if we can drag something up on that. But regarding Clarence Thomas, justice to you, Crudy. Apparently, according to CNN, took several more trips on the private plane of GOP mega donor Harlan Crow that were previously known, a top Senate Democrat revealed on Thursday. According to information obtained by the Senate Judiciary Chairman, Dick Durbin, Thomas traveled on Crow's private jet during trips in 2017, 2019, 2021 between various U.S. states, as well as on a previously known 2019 trip to Indonesia, during which Thomas also stayed on Crow's mega yacht. Mega yacht. Oh, I'm just buying with a pontoon, man. A mega yacht. The newly revealed private plane trips add to the picture of luxury travel enjoyed by Thomas and bankrolled by friends of the justice who have ties to conservative politics. Justice has come under fire for his failure to include such trips on financial disclosure forms the justice has released each year, though he and his defenders argue that he followed the court's disclosure rules as they were understood at the time. I mean, if I had known this was frowned upon, I never would have done it, Crudy. The revelation was likely to add to
maybe
the
you should have asked a lawyer.
Between the high court, where conservatives hold a 6-3 majority, and Democrats on Capitol Hill, who have been pushing for more than a year for tighter ethics rules. I think AOC, someone else came out like, hey, how about a $50 gift rule? Yeah, you know, how about that? I want you to do that. $50 gift rule, you okay with that? I mean, if you get millions and millions of dollars worth of things, I mean, I don't need the money. I could be a power. I don't need the money. I just want access to it. You know what I'm saying? I don't need a boat, but like beyond a boat, I don't need a fancy car, but if I could drive one that I don't own, I'd be totally fine with that. What is the actual literal difference of having access to call it an asset or a thing versus owning it? I mean, if you can get it anytime you want, Does it really matter if you own it? In fact, it's better if you don't, because then you don't have to pay for it. But then you receive what? The value of those things, of those services, of those trips. Well, isn't that? I mean, how is that different from just giving a guy a suitcase full of cash? For real. And if all of a sudden, if Thomas got caught coming out of the Quick Trip bathroom with a suitcase full of cash, would people be like, well, that's finally it. That's finally, we've had enough. Is that what it would take? Because this is basically the same damn thing. But I digress. Last year, amid stories by ProPublica, went off at all. ProPublica, they're just hounding everybody. Every little thing. What, dude? Every little thing. 4 million out of the five given, plus, as we continue to find out. Anyway, amid stories by ProPublica on the justices' jet-setting lifestyle, the federal judiciary's policymaking body said that travel on private planes should be reported by the justices, closing a loophole that Thomas said exempted him from reporting the personal hospitality he had received from his uber-wealthy friends. The court's critics argue that the current understanding of the disclosure rule should not apply should apply retroactively. Thomas, through a court spokeswoman, did not respond to a CNN inquiry about the new revelations and why the trips were not disclosed. Now, he previously said that he was advised at the time that he was not required to disclose the hospitality he received from the Crows, but that he intended to follow the recent changes to the guidance going forward. Now, his defenders pointed to a 2012 letter from the Justice Judicial Conference, which administers the regulation for judges' financial disclosures, that cleared him of claims at the time that he should have been reporting the trips. Now, last week, with the release of his financial disclosures for 23, Thomas said that he had inadvertently omitted, from previous financial filings, a hotel stay paid by the Crows during the 2019 trip to Indonesia and his accommodation that same year in a private club. They were members in Monterio, California, yet he did not disclose his travel on Crow's private plane for either of those trips that was revealed by Durbin. Now, the Senate Judiciary Committee's ongoing investigation into the Supreme Court's ethical crisis is producing new information like what we've revealed today. And it makes crystal clear that the highest court needs an enforceable code of conduct because its members continue to choose to not meet the moment, Durbin said in a statement that pointed to Supreme Court ethics legislation put forward by Senate Democrats. A procedural maneuver by Durbin on Wednesday to pass the bill on the Senate floor was blocked by Republicans. There's more to it. Now, my understanding, though, this information came to light because of a deal between Durbin and Crow, that they wouldn't go after Crow if he just kind of told them everything they knew. That's my understanding. Despite his serious and continued concerns about the legality and necessity of the inquiry, Mr. Crow engaged in good faith negotiations with the committee from the beginning to resolve the matter as a condition of this agreement. The committee agreed to end its probe with respect to Mr. Crow. So Crow's the one, you know, the host, the rich guy with the super yacht, was spilling the beans to Durbin and the committee about what the dude was up to.
New information has come to light, man. Dominic, you've never been invited on the Crudy family super yacht? I call it the Jordan Love Boat.
I was invited.
16 feet of fiberglass luxury.
Yeah, baby. That sounds awesome. Man, my Cadillac's longer than that. And that's a boat, man. Rosy blue, 18 and a half feet, 1976 baby blue Cadillac Eldorado. Steph says I can't get a boat because I have one. No, man, come on. I mean, how much is enough? For real. I mean, that's a legitimate question. And, I mean, I remember you asking Fitzgerald one time when he was still a state legislator. Now, you know, congressman. Hey, I mean, how many rape allegations does Trump need to have before you consider not voting for him, right? Something along those lines. How much money, how much trade, how much value does a guy like Thomas need before it actually, you know, breaks Republicans' favor? Obviously, it's not 4 million, 5, 6, 10. Can we just write the number down so when we meet it, you can't find some excuse that, no, we're just going to ignore this?
Clarence would trade it all for just a little bit more.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. Back to the phones. And I understand Rich has the newest version of why Milwaukee's not horrible. or why Trump thinks it is horrible. You got to be patient for that, though. Let's get to the callers first.
All right, let's do it.
844-967-2789.
Welcome, Dick. What are your thoughts?
Well, real quick, a judge out in New York City could make Trump a very happy man. Here's how. He could put him in jail so he won't have to go to that asshole city. Right? Am I missing something here?
I mean,
there are contingency plans being made.
But there's something bigger in the room this week that the media doesn't cover at all. The weather in Florida, it's been incredible. Man.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is this not being talked about? Guys, the Democratic Party is fumbling the ball. This, Mother Nature is the in the room, elephant in the room. I mean, is this what you want? 15 inches of rain in 48 hours? And I hope that Mar-a-Lago floats out into the ocean this weekend.
Dick, my understanding in the U.S. Senate race, the Republican, Rick Scott, looks like Skeletor, he spent $64 million in his last race. Well, his Democratic opponent is up in the current polling. And also, you're right about the weather when you've got this sort of cataclysmic weather. But let's not forget, on the ballot this fall in Florida, both questions of abortion and legalized marijuana. Talking about a get-out-the-vote mechanism. 844-967-2789.
Rich, are we ready with that audio? Let's be prepared for that. I want to revisit this once again, because, again, this is new news. Of course, as we've been talking about ad nauseum, you know, almost like Meg and Mike talking about the peaceful transfer of power ad nauseum with Trump, who's totally fine with that. He would totally do that. Trump called Milwaukee a horrible city weeks before the RNC comes to town. We reported this off of the Journal Sentinel. Thank you, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, specifically Brian Stile. A U.S. rep representing Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District, said this, quote, "I was in the room. President Trump did not say this. There is no better place than Wisconsin in July. I was in the room. President Trump did not say this." Well, now I checked on the Twitters. Matt Smith, he is the political director at WISN 12 News, a local television station. He had an interview with Stile. And seemingly Stile maybe did say something. Let's hear the new excuse, if you would please, Rich.
Will you acknowledge that these words at least came out of his mouth? The context is different, but did he say this?
He wasn't talking about the city. He was talking about specific issues in the city. I think it was horrible that a 9-year-old boy was killed on the north side of Milwaukee yesterday. We've had challenges in the city as it relates to the public school system. The people of Milwaukee are terrific, and there's no place better to live than the state of Wisconsin. And so this is simply the media trying to not talk about the issues and the challenges that the city of Milwaukee faces.
What context do you place it in? What was he referring to? Was it crime? Was it the elections? I've heard all of the above.
We're having a broad conversation about the challenges we face as a country, in particular the challenges that we've seen in Milwaukee. Just recently, the head of elections in Milwaukee had to be replaced. We've seen challenges with crime. Again, a 9-year-old boy was killed early morning. We've seen challenges as it relates to the public schools in the city of Milwaukee.
I don't need it anymore. What that is not, quote, "I was in the room. President Trump did not say this." You know what that is, Stile? That seems like
you don't understand the context.
Come on, man. I'm going to stand for that. You bring that crap up in the bar stool next to me, man. I'm going to light your ass up. President Trump did not say this. Oh, okay. What? Well, he said it, but in a different way. Come on. You guys can't get your crap straight, and now you're just going to spew things, throw everything at the wall to defend a guy who said something really mean about a beautiful city. Yeah, man. Cities have their challenges, and Milwaukee has their challenges. We know that. We confront that. We deal with that. But don't camp up here and say, like, oh, no, he never said that. President Trump did not say this. Yeah, he did. You just qualified it differently, which means you knew what you were saying at the time wasn't right. And if you knew, like, specifically, purposely not saying the truthful thing, I think that makes you a big, fat liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know what I'm saying? Brian Stile, You and the rest of you Republicans out there, just defend Wisconsin. How about that? Wisconsin's a great state in July. Okay. How about the economic powerhouse that is Milwaukee, Wisconsin? And we contribute more to Madison, to the city, to the state economically than every other county, Mr. Style. Yeah, how about that, man? How about our teams and our communities and our neighborhoods? Now, where's the defense? You defend Trump with a lie. You don't defend the actual city and county of Milwaukee. You're disgraceful.
I wonder what Eric Hudvey thinks. Republican senatorial candidate from California. I mean, I bet he's not offended at all. It's like trash talk in L.A. I live in Laguna Beach. Folks, we have the Devil's Advocates rolling through a happier happy hour. Could be happier if you joined us. And tomorrow is Dom's birthday. It'd be horrible if you missed the opportunity to wish him an early birthday. 844-967-2789. Rolling through it.
I'm a real wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one. Wild one.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. So if you have something to say, slide in now, talk or text on the lines at 844-967-2789.
I was just noting, not only has Brian Stile, the congressman from the first CD, and I wondered, Dom, Donald Trump, although I've been denied credentials, Donald Trump coming to Racine on Tuesday, June 18th. Will Brian Stile appear on stage with the Cheeto Messiah? And will he describe Racine also as a horrible city? Will he add it to the mix? We'll see, Dom. Inquiring minds want to know.
We'll see. We'll see. Racine, you know, the eighth wonder of the world with the Fox. I mean, forget it.
Dom, I had taken note of the fact that the Trump spokesperson, and maybe you touched closely on this earlier, but after former President Donald Trump, and I thought I saw some Democrats calling this take your felon to work day, but Tom, former President Donald Trump was reported as telling a room full of Republican lawmakers that Milwaukee, Wisconsin is a horrible city. Republicans went into overdrive, alternatively defending his comments and denying that he said them altogether. That was the Brian Stile, you know, that was his cha-cha today, Dom. One of the most forceful reactions came from Trump's controversial spokesman, Stephen Chung, who posted on the Twitter in response to Punch Bowl News reporter Jake Sherman, confirming the former president absolutely made the remarks. Wrong, total BS, wrote Chung. He never said it like it, how it's been falsely characterized as. He was talking about how terrible crime and voter fraud are. And many commentators on the social media leapt to mock Chung, pointing out that his explanation, in fact, confirms that Trump did say what Chung is denying he said. Oh, so he didn't say it's a horrible city. He said it's a horrible city, wrote Brooklyn-based attorney Damon Toll. Thanks for admitting he said it then, Stephen. Much appreciated, wrote Fourth Jen Bruin, someone from the Boston area, I suspect, Dom. And other commentators pointed out that Chung's stated reason Trump is criticizing Milwaukee, where the Republican National Committee will be holding their convention. Will they, Dom? Are they still doing that little party this horrible city of Milwaukee?
Red carpet, man.
Trump Spock's his best defense of Trump insulting the city where the RNC is hosting the convention is that the city where they're hosting the convention is full of crime and voter fraud. Now, I know you've touched on a few of these, Dom. Under Joe Biden, homicides are down 42% in Milwaukee from 2 years ago, said a pro-Biden account. What 46 has done and voter fraud, the malicious incompetence and ridiculous delusions you clowns relentlessly spew would be comical if it weren't such a national security threat.
844-967-2789. Chris from Rice Lake, you will be next. Welcome, Chris, to the Devil's Advocates. What are your thoughts today?
Gentlemen, how are we
hey,
doing?
Hey, Chris.
Good, thank you.
Hey, glad, hanging in there.
Glad to talk to you. Hey, I used to live in Milwaukee. Actually, I've been there. I was lived there for 50 years before I moved up here. And I can pretty much guarantee you that Turtlehead Tom Tiffany's district up here in Barron County is got just as much crime as Milwaukee County does per capita. So, yeah. I mean, Milwaukee's got crime. There's no doubt about it. My parents still live there, and they call me up every time something bad happens. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that happens up here, you know, you guys don't hear a lot about it down in Milwaukee, but, I mean, it's pretty awful. And we had two cops blasted, 2 years ago. We had another lady cop killed the next county over. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff that goes on up here, too. So Turtlehead ought to, get his act together and stop blaming everybody else and take responsibility for his own stuff, for his own backyard.
For sure. Great, great point, Chris. Appreciate that. You look at the per capita, and obviously we got, meth and the opioids and all that. And that's, those kinds of things happen everywhere, and it's and poverty is poverty and life circumstances. I mean, humanity is humanity. And to think that, because of numerically in a larger city, there's a greater number, that doesn't, you got to look at those kinds of statistics as a per capita. And thankfully, thankfully murders are down. I can't tell you why. I don't know why. But apparently those are the statistics, and that's great. I hope that continues that trend and we find other ways to, solve our problems and deal with our issues than with the pull of the trigger or, popping the pills or whatever it is that people got to do to get by or what they're addicted, the addiction issues. I mean, these are real problems. And where are those solutions? You know what I'm saying? Tom Tiffany, you got nobody addicted to anything in your area, sir. And what's your plan? You know what I'm saying? So don't be putting that on everybody. This is humanity. These are our lives. And these are our neighborhoods and our friends and our families, and we're dealing with. And that kind of stuff doesn't help. Let's go, Paul. You will have the last word today. Welcome. What do you got?
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Nice rant, Tom. You're good at that. You're getting better all the time, too.
Thanks.
Milwaukee's cool. For a guy that supports somebody that I cannot think of a law he hasn't broke or a commandment he hasn't broke, that's saying something. And you're right, Tom. If Trump's reelected, he's going to burn her down, man. He's going to burn it to the ground. Hey, as far as the Barrymore goes, I have to make that. I don't have a real busy schedule, but I'm going to clear my schedule. I hope CJ comes so I can agitate him a little bit when Biden kicked Trump's ass in a debate. That's if Trump even shows up. I'm a little skeptical. I don't know if, because Trump's not going to beat Biden.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, whether or not Trump shows up or not, we are going to do the watch party. The Barrymore of the 27th, folks. Thanks for listening. Rich, thank you for rolling with us today. We'll be back tomorrow.